From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we'll bring you more information about Indonesia. You can listen on voanews.id. And now, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia to promote investment in special WEF virtual forum. AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine shows its effectiveness until 90%. Now the news in details. Indonesia is collaborating with the World Economic Forum, WEF, to host a virtual forum on Wednesday that focuses on economic recovery in the country and the government efforts to curb the COVID-19 pandemic, while also promoting investment in key sectors like healthcare. Government representatives are to meet global business players and other stakeholders at the WEF Special Virtual on Indonesia, Indonesia's priority on health and economic recovery, according to a statement from the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. The forum is part of the WEF's Country Strategy Dialogue, which has selected Indonesia and three other countries, Japan, China, and Pakistan, to participate in individual dialogues under the umbrella theme, The Great Reset. It is Indonesia's commitment to continue the economic reform process to improve its investment climate and competitiveness. In particular, it will be seeking to promote investment in the healthcare and pharmaceutical industry to beef up Indonesia's capabilities in vaccine and drug production. AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford reported that the vaccine developed jointly for the coronavirus has showed 70% of average effectiveness in its final trials. The vaccine can prevent 70% of people infected from the coronavirus, even it is up to 90% if given a lower dose. Deputy Executive President of AstraZeneca, Menelas Pangalos, explained that based on the data, the vaccine of AstraZeneca and Oxford University are effective in reducing the number of infections and reducing the spread of the coronavirus.
It's clearly effective, and we're extremely excited because what the data has shown us is that the vaccine is clearly effective in terms of reducing infections. It's clearly effective in terms of reducing people getting sick and going to the hospital. It's potentially reducing transmission. And I think it's got every chance of being a very successful, very effective vaccine that can get us back to normal.
Meanwhile, Chief Executive of AstraZeneca, Pascal Soriot, in recent statement explained that administering the lower dosage from the first trial was a huge extra value because it means that it can vaccinate more people and faster. This vaccine is very effective when it is given a half dose and followed by a full dose in 1 month later. Chief Scientist of the World Health Organization, WHO, Soumya Swaminathan, mentioned that the result is blissfulness. Soumya Swaminathan further said that the big advantage of having this vaccine is that it can be stored, transported, and handled at temperatures of 2 until 8 degrees Celsius so that it will facilitate the distribution of the vaccine to countries and people anywhere in the world.
It can be stored in the ordinary refrigerated temperatures of 2 to 8 degrees and is stable at that temperature. And that, of course, has huge logistical advantages for transporting and delivering this vaccine to cities and towns and villages and rural areas around the world.
Besides, when compared to vaccine produced by BioNTech, Pfizer and Moderna, which have been proven to be more than 90% effective, the vaccine analyzed by AstraZeneca provides lower effectiveness. However, the result of the preliminary trials is a new breakthrough in fighting against the virus that has killed almost 1.4 million people. The role of media as a driver of change is crucial in realizing the Asian integration and community building agenda. The narrative that the media promote contribute towards shaping public opinion. This was stated by Secretary General of ASEAN, Dato' Lim Chok Hoi, in his remarks at the opening of the 4th Asian Media Forum 2020 held virtually on Tuesday. He added, during the pandemic, journalists and editors have an important role in exercising responsible journalism.
The pandemic has demonstrated more than ever the importance of role journalists and editors play in exercising responsible journalism by eradicating misinformation that may cause confusion and panics in society. As such, we depend on you in helping us to inform, educate, empower the peoples of ASEAN.
Dato' Lim Chok Hoi further said he also welcomed the media views and ideas in helping the Asian Secretariat better support the media role in conveying the Asian story to a wider audience. The Asian Media Forum, AMF, is a platform for senior editors to come together with Asian leaders to discuss vital issues affecting the region. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, the event took place online. This year's topic focused on, among others, the COVID-19 pandemic and Asian recovery framework. The Indonesian government is in talks with the United States government to form a partnership between state-owned pharmaceutical holding firm PT Bio Farma and U.S. company Pfizer Incorporation to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said on Tuesday that the U.S. had said that it was willing to help Indonesia on COVID-19 vaccine development. He also said that Deputy Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Budi Gunadi Sadikin held discussion with the U.S. Health Secretary Office and the Indonesian Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, BPOM, to follow up on the talk. In the meantime, Budi said during the same event that the government had contacted 7 to 8 pharmaceutical companies on the World Health Organization's list of approved vaccine developers. In addition to pursuing the bilateral partnership, Indonesia is also utilizing a multilateral approach to find the best COVID-19 vaccine by participating in organizations such as the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, CEPI, and the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, GAVI. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The Free Trade Agreement FTA between Israel and Ukraine will take effect on January 1, 2021, allowing the country to ramp up export of goods with comparative advantage, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Tuesday. According to President Zelensky, this is a new level of relation between the countries and the green light to the growth of Ukrainian exports, closer cooperation in the fields of high-tech. In January 2019, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and then Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko announced that they had signed the bilateral free trade agreement. The Ukrainian side completed the ratification procedure on August 6, 2019, despite criticism from its chain store supplier association, which does not consider it to be in the country's best interest. General Secretariat of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will hold this 47th Council of Foreign Ministers, CFM, in Niamey, Republic of Niger's capital, on November 27-28, 2020, theme United Against Terrorism for Peace and Development. According to a statement from the OIC Secretariat received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Secretary General Dr. Yusuf Al-Otaymin expounded that the agenda of this year's CFM session constituted a list of topics and issues of concern to the Muslim world. In addition to the Palestinian cause, the fight against violence, extremism and terrorism, Islamophobia and religious defamation, the Council will discuss the situation of Muslim minorities and communities in non-member states, ways to raise funds for the Rohingya case at the International Court of Justice, ICJ, as well as the promotion of civilizational, cultural and religious dialogue in addition to other matters that may come before the Council. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Come, people.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary today on Saudi's stance towards Palestine after issues on triangle meeting with Israel and the U.S. The Saudi stance towards Palestine seems to be of concern. Its good relationship with the United States, which is also known to be a key ally of Israel, will be a test for Saudi Arabia whether it will continue to be consistent on the Palestinian side. The issue of a triangle meeting among the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Israel can become a topic of discussion among countries that are members of the Arab League. Recently, news that Benjamin Netanyahu has flown to Saudi Arabia to meet U.S. Foreign Minister Mike Pompeo and Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has been widely circulated. It was conveyed by Israeli officials and broadcast by the mass media, yet has been denied by Saudi Arabia through its Minister of Foreign Affairs. The suspicion over the meeting was strengthened following the Israeli agreement with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The two countries, allies of Saudi Arabia, have agreed to normalize relations with Israel. This, to some extent, has changed the geopolitical map regarding Palestine and Israel. In fact, not only once did important sources in Tel Aviv and Washington state that the commitment of the two Gulf countries is an early indication of the increasing number of Arab countries that will establish ties with Israel. So far, Saudi Arabia itself, apart from denying the issue of a triangular meeting between Netanyahu, Pompeo, and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, still maintains a political position supporting Palestine. This is in accordance with the Arab League, which for decades has decided not to have relation with Israel until the Palestinian-Israeli conflict was resolved. The world still has to wait for further development in the attitude of Saudi Arabia, in line with the changing political constellation of the Middle East. In particular, regarding the possibility of a change in policy and political direction of the United States when Joe Biden officially became President of the United States. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuga Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from an event on November 25, 1945, when Teacher Association of Republic of Indonesia was established. National Teacher Day has been initiated since 1994 in accordance with Presidential's Decree, based on Presidential's Decree No. 78-1994 and also Law No. 14-2005 on Teachers and Lecturers. November 25th was chosen as National Teacher Day and also commemorated as anniversary of Teacher Association of Republic of Indonesia. Previously, Teacher Association of Republic of Indonesia was called Teacher Association of Dutch East Indies. It was established Dutch colonial government in 1912, then it became Indonesian Teacher Association in 1932. It was initiated as Teacher Day to recollect the service and struggle of teachers who have worked hard to struggle for education in Indonesia. Next event is that in 1975, Suriname obtained its independence. In the Roundtable Conference in 1961, representative of Suriname led by the then Prime Minister Johan Adolf Pengel demanded the formation of self-government. The demand became more intensive after the establishment of some political parties in the decade. The demand was stronger so that Suriname was given fully freedom as soon as possible. The demand was responded seriously by holding a conference in the Netherlands in 1970. The conference was to discuss the preparation to free Suriname and also to arrange cabinet, which consisted of representative of the parties. Though Suriname has become an independent state since November 25, 1975, however, the economy of the new state still dependent on the Dutch development assistance. Last event is that in 2000, Baku was hit by the earthquake. On Saturday, November 25, 2000, at 10 p.m. local time, an earthquake with 7.0 Richter scale shocked Baku, Azerbaijan. The earthquake was followed 3 minutes later by another earthquake measuring 5.9 Richter scale. The earthquake was the strongest for the past 160 years, namely since the earthquake in 1842. The earthquake killed 26 people and injured 412 people. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Hanya untuk dirimu.
kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bila kau menungguku,
you are still with us, English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next information about Indonesia will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the My Indonesia entitled G20 Agrees on Loan Relaxation Until 2021. In the G20 summit, loan installment relaxation was agreed for some vulnerable countries against COVID-19. That was stated by Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati in her statement on Sunday, November the 22nd. Sri Mulyani said loan installment extension was changed from previously until the end of 2020 into mid-2021. This relaxation is called Debt Service Suspension Initiative or DSSI. Sri Mulyani said DSSI is an initiative to give relaxation for poor countries whose economy and fiscal are in difficult situations. It aims to give low-income countries enough fiscal space to handle the COVID-19. She said the DSSI discussion was supported by multilateral bodies such as the IMF and World Bank. Further, Sri Mulyani said installment relaxation was agreed for 46 of 77 countries who met the requirement for DSSI. The debt value to be postponed reached $4.9 billion. Sri Mulyani added, this initiative is important to support poor countries so they have more endurance in handling COVID-19. In the meeting, a similar loan facility was also agreed for countries joined in the Paris Club and outside the Paris Club. Paris Club is an informal group of financial officials from 19 most rich countries in the world, which provides financial services such as debt restructuring, debt relief, as well as debt cancellation to borrowing countries and their creditors. The G20 summit was held in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on November 21st and 22nd. Indonesian President Joko Widodo joined the summit virtually from Bogor Palace. The president was accompanied by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, and Indonesian G20 Sherpa Rizal Afandi Lukman, who is also the Deputy for International Economic Cooperation Coordination at Coordinating Ministry for Economy. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Waktu kamu jadi
Thank you very much if you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we'll bring you to have a glimpse about Indonesia, our tourism, or our local wisdom. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, one of Indonesia's destinations that is currently attracting tourists' attention is Labengki Island in southeast Sulawesi. The beauty of this hidden island is said to be similar to Raja Ampat. So many people mention Labengki Island as the Raja Ampat of Sulawesi. This island has hills and small islands which are almost the same as Wayak Island in Raja Ampat, Papua. Besides its beauty above the water which is presented by this beautiful island, Labengki Island's beautiful underwater is also amazing. Various marine biotas are found here and their naturalness is still maintained. In the waters of this island, there are many very classy diving spots and habitats for species of kima or giant shells, which can reach a size of about 50 centimeters, that are recorded as the second largest kima in the world. The waters is also a place for researchers' conservation and captivity of kima. Apart from exploring the islands, diving or snorkeling in Labengki, you can also fish here. You can find various types of fish such as barracuda, grouper, yellowfin tuna, red snapper, or sailfish. After fishing, if you have plans to cook for yourself, don't forget to bring spices because there are no food stalls on this island. On Labengki Island, there are also white sandy beaches and shady coconut trees that you can use as a place to take a break. You can also climb to the hill to see the beauty of Teluk Cinta that has shaped like heart. On the hill, you can take pictures with Teluk Cinta as a background, which is very Instagrammable. Labengki Island is administratively included in the North Konawe Regency, Southeast Sulawesi Province. It can be accessed from Kendari City, the capital of Southeast Sulawesi Province, and you can go by motor vehicles for about 1 hour to the Toli Toli area, Konawe Regency. From Toli Toli, you have to continue the journey by boat for about 3 hours to arrive at Labengki Island. The facilities on Labengki Island are incomplete. Usually, to take a shower or rinse yourself and stay overnight, you can do it at a conservation team post or set up a tent around the island. Hopefully, this tourism destination is appropriate for you if you have adventure spirit. And listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh. Hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku
bukan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, takkan terisi. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah yang kau mau.
Hanya hatiku.
Ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupmu.
If you're still thirsty for more information about Indonesia, the next one will be the interesting information about Indonesia in
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. The segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is apa jadwal selanjutnya? In English, what is the next schedule? Listen to this conversation about apa jadwal selanjutnya? In English, what is the next schedule?
Pak Kevin, sebentar lagi kita tiba di hotel. Silahkan beristirahat dahulu.
Baik, apa jadwal wisata kita selanjutnya?
Nanti sore kita akan menaiki perahu menuju Pulau Kelor.
Oke.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Tiba-tiba, tiba-tiba, suddenly. Beristirahat, which means take a rest. Apa jadwal selanjutnya? Which means what is the next schedule? Apa acara selanjutnya? Which means what is the next program? Kegiatan apa berikutnya? Which means what is the next activity? Menuju, which means toward or heading to. There are some questions that can be used to know tour activity schedule as follows. Apa jadwal selanjutnya? Which means what is the next schedule? Apa acara selanjutnya? Which means what is the next program? Apa kegiatan berikutnya? Which means what is the next activity? Boleh saya tahu jadwal wisata hari ini? Which means may I know about or what is tour schedule for today? Listener, an expression selanjutnya in English next means sesudah itu or setelah ini in English after that or after this. The expression can also be changed with the word berikutnya in English next. In the dialogue, Kevin asks about tour activity after the break by saying, apa jadwal wisata kita selanjutnya? In English, what is our next tour activity schedule? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pak Kevin, sebentar lagi kita tiba di hotel. Silahkan beristirahat dahulu.
Baik, apa jadwal wisata kita selanjutnya?
Nanti sore kita akan menaiki perahu menuju Pulau Kelor.
Oke.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda. ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Besides information, we are providing you also with some good music to lift up your day. And anyway, we get more for you. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today I would like to present a song from Central Kalimantan entitled Isen Mulang. In Indonesian language, the phrase Isen Mulang means never give up. The phrase Isen Mulang is also the motto of Palangkaraya City and the province of Central Kalimantan. Isen Mulang or never give up is also one of the Dayak tribe spirits to never give up before fighting. The song composed by A.B. Sandan is often sung with a full spirit rhythm. However, there are also singers who sing the song Isen Mulang with a softer arrangement. Here is the song Isen Mulang, sung by Danang Nugroho.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Then listener, it's time for us to not to say goodbye, but we're inviting you to stay tuned with us. Anyway, please send your criticism, suggestion, or question to our email voi@vonnews.id, voi@vonnews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. And listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. So stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.